The Lament, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trust in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Let us give thanks for this gift from the psalmist. Today we begin Lent. And Lent is all about learning to be human before God. We started off our Lenten season on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. And as I reflected on the experiences I had on Ash Wednesday this year, I was reflecting on this idea that, as far as I can tell, Ash Wednesday is the only holy day in the church calendar where the focus is entirely on humanity. It is the only holy day that isn't about God. Its focus is on our shortcomings and our mortality. Ash Wednesday doesn't even wrap in the story of salvation. The words we become accustomed to for that day are dust to dust, ash to ash. It is a day to remember in worship that we are human. Lent continues that theme of looking at our human condition, looking at our fragility, our mortality, our brokenness, our sinfulness, our pains and our griefs and our sorrows. Lent is a season that teaches us to be fully human in the presence of God. And I acknowledge that for a lot of us, that's probably a hard thing to do. There are a lot of places in this world where we are asked to mask our full selves, the trueness of our nature, to hide all the stuff we are going through in order to make others more comfortable. When someone asks me how I'm doing, I'm not sure if they really want to hear the answer or if they just want to hear I'm doing okay. There are a lot of places where we are asked to cover our humanity. And when we are allowed to show up as our full selves, when we are allowed to show up with all that inner turmoil, all that brokenness that we might hide from the world, the times we are allowed to show up with those griefs and pains of life, so often the world that we live in shifts focus to fixing the problems. We become focused on solutions rather than experiencing the genuineness of hurt. Lent challenges the idea that we are expected to be anything other than fully ourselves before God. The practice of lament is a big part of learning what it means to be fully ourselves before God. It is a practice of learning to speak our pains and our sorrows to God in ways that can be authentic and affirming rather than shameful. But first, let me talk about what it is I mean when I use the word lament. I tried to come up with a definition and never really found one that works, so I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff out there and hopefully some of it will stick. Lament contains elements of complaining, venting, and grieving, while at the same time going deeper than any of those words can fully encompass. Lament takes us more into the realm of the sacred than what we might think of when we hear complaints. It is a holy act. Glenn Packiam of Rock Harbor Church in Costa Mesa looks at laments as having 5 core elements. He says that first, lament is a form of praise. 2/3, roughly 2/3 of the book of Psalms are laments. There's what, 150 or so psalms in the book of Psalms? 2/3 of them are categorized as laments. And yet in the Hebrew language, the book is called a book of praises. That is the Hebrew word for the book of Psalms. It is praises. So how can a book of praises be majority laments? And I think to understand that, we need to look at the difference between a complaint to God and a lament to God. The Israelites were fully aware of what it meant to complain to God, and I think we probably know what it means to complain to God too. Israel complains to God when they are in the wilderness after the Exodus from Egypt. They complain that God is literally trying to kill them in the wilderness. They complain and accuse God of malfeasance. That is a complaint. A lament, on the other hand, is a way to speak to God that appeals to the character of God. It is based on a history of knowing God to be faithful and loving towards God's people. So where the complaint criticizes God's character, the lament praises God's nature in the midst of hurting lives. The second element of a lament is that a lament is a proof of a relationship. When the Israelites cried out to God in the laments, they did so with an understanding that God would hear them. The lament is directed not to a distant God who does not care for God's people. The lament is directed to a God who the people know to be a listening God and a loving God. It proves the strength of the relationship between God and God's people. The third element of a lament is that the lament is a pathway to a deeper intimacy with God. The lament reveals to us that God desires to have a healthy relationship with us and that we would have a healthy relationship with God. A relationship in which we are not afraid to share our every emotion with God. That we are not too afraid to explain our experiences to God. The lament reminds us that God wants us to have that intimacy where we can trust God with the fullness of who we are. The fourth element of a lament is that a lament is a prayer act that trusts God will act. We see this in so many of the Psalms, as the psalmists cry out for God to act, but that cry is always paired with a trust that God is listening and that God is moving to make things right in the world. The lament is a prayer that trusts that God will act. The fifth and final core element to a lament is that a lament is a participation in the pain of others. There's an ancient practice in the church of praying the Psalms. I know some people will come to me and talk to me about how they don't feel that they are very good prayers, and one of the things that we do when we don't have the words ourselves to pray is to crack open that book of Psalms and pray the Psalms. It is an ancient practice of the church. But it can be hard when our lives are very different than the lives of the psalmists. I've got to say, very rarely has my prayer been for God to act against my enemies who have amassed against me. Sometimes, not often. But praying the Psalms, praying the laments, teaches us to pray beyond our own pains, and rather to attune ourselves to the pains that others are going through. The lament teaches us to participate in the hardships and the griefs and the worries of others. Packiam goes on to describe the lament as a prayer that is prayed in the meantime. I love that phrase, a prayer that is prayed in the meantime. That is to say that it is not our first prayer and it is not our final prayer. It is the prayer we offer up when we know that God will act. I think it matters how we face hardship in life. I think it's important to understand how we face hardship. And how we face hardship matters. Because sometimes we get into the mistaken position, especially in the church, that thinking if we do things right, things will work out for the best for us. In the church, we might think that if our faith is strong enough, or if we pray the right prayers, or if we give the right amount of money in the offering plate, or if we show up at the right times to the right services, or join the right committees or small groups, if we do the right things in the church, then our lives will work out. And we have that same perspective in life sometimes too, that if we get the right education, get the right job, have the right family, the right spouse, the right children, then things will work out for us. It doesn't work out that way in life. God never makes the promise that we won't experience hardship. We could do everything right and still experience hardship in life. The promise is never that we will not experience hardship, because sometimes the poor choices we make in life will lead to hardship. Sometimes the choices other people make will lead to our hardship. And sometimes life will just work out in such a way that we will go through hard times. It's nobody's fault, that's just the way life worked out. The promise is not that we will not experience hardship. The promise of God is that when we do experience hardship, when we do experience suffering, when we do experience grief, God is with us. The same God who chose to go into exile with the Israelites in Babylon, the same God who chose to go to the cross outside of Jerusalem, that is the God who goes with us no matter what we go through in life. No matter what laments we might have, the same God goes with us throughout life. We have these beautiful examples of laments in Scripture. Sometimes they're hard for us to read, but they are still beautiful prayers of lament in Scripture, and they are reminders to us that it is healthy to create space for lament to happen. We might even say that there is something sacred when we make space for the lament in our lives. And when you are not in a time of lament, and hopefully most of our lives will not be spent in a time of lament, when we are not in a time of lament, it is also healthy to show up as a community to support one another. Because chances are somebody in our community is going through a time of lament, and it is healthy to be there for one another in those moments. So what is the role of the church in the lament? I think first the role is that the church is there to create space and permission for lament to happen. I think that's one of the primary roles of the church in the lament, to simply create that sacred space where a lament can happen. But here's the other layer to that. I think the other layer is that the church is supposed to be engaging in the relational work that helps people not get stuck in the lament. We want the lament to be a valley that we pass through rather than a space where we set up residence. And I believe that part of the role of the church in the lament is to help bear the laments of one another as we take questions and desperations and despairs, and as a community, turn them to trust and hope. Friends, I'm going to invite us to be in prayer together. Holy One, our voices cry out sometimes, and our ears listen as our friends, our neighbors, our fellow churchgoers, members of our beloved community, our ears listen as they cry out as well. Teach us, O God, the art of lament, where we can express the fullness of who we are to a God who listens and cares. And teach us also that art of becoming a community together that cares for the hurting, lifts up the struggling, offers space for the lamenting, and provides reminders that trust and hope are on the other side of the valley. Lord God, I thank you for being a God who listens and cares. Amen.